Please join me in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, today we are going to look at verses 17 all the way through 24. If you're just joining us on this wonderful day, we have been marching our way through this wonderful book, verse by verse and chapter by chapter for the past couple of months. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 all the way through 24. And I'm going to ask that whenever you find your spot, that you would stand with me as we honor the reading of the incredible, perfect, beautiful, infallible Word of God, which says this, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." He says, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." He says, "They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." Verse 20, he says, "But that is not the way you learn Christ." Verse 21, he says, "Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus," he says, "to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Would you pray with me? And God, we just come before your throne this morning, and we simply just continue to worship you. Lord, help us just to continue in this attitude of worship. As we sang about a few moments ago, that no matter what comes our way, we can say with confidence that it is well with our soul because we know the one who holds our souls in the palm of his hands, and that is Jesus Christ. So Lord, we come before your throne this morning with confidence. Father, you know every individual in this place. You know every single family in this place. You know every single concern, every single hurt. God, you know what we're facing tomorrow. You know what we're dealing with, God, in our personal lives as a people. You know what we need as a church. Father, you know all things, and we simply rest in that. And Father, you know what we need to hear today. So God, as we open up your incredible word today, and as we look intently into this word, and as we work our way really word by word through this amazing text today, Father, we just ask and pray that you would change our hearts, Lord, and that we would leave this place closer to you, that we would leave this place having been strengthened as a result of simply being in your presence today and worshiping corporately with other believers in Christ. God, we thank you for the church. Thank you for this local body. And God, we just ask and pray that you would be with us right now. Teach us, Lord, what you want us to learn. Father, show us right now. God, what we need to change. Father, would you change us right now? God, we are your children. We're your people, so have your way with us. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. And we say thank you so much for your incredible word. We love you. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. So growing up, one of the most exciting things for me was getting new clothes for school. Anybody identify with that? It was always a really cool thing to get some clothes for school. I remember every single summer before school would start, my mom would take me school clothes shopping. And we would go to all these stores and we would get some new clothes for the beginning of the school year. But my mom would always say this, "Caleb, you have these new clothes, you cannot wear them until school starts." Anybody remember that? Like, "Mom, but I want to wear these new shoes. I want to wear this new shirt. I want to wear these new pants." Mom would always say, "Nope, not until school starts." So I remember always the night before school would start, I would take my brand new tennis shoes and I would put them on the floor. And right above my tennis shoes, I would put my socks. And right above my socks, I would put my new pair of pants or my new pair of shorts, and then I'd put some new underwear in there as well, and I'd put my new shirt out there as well. And then I would wake up the very first day of school, and it was just as good as Christmas morning. Right? Get to put on your brand new clothes. You see, it was always exciting for me to get to have new clothes and to get to wear new clothes. And that is what Paul is saying in the text that we're looking at this morning to these Ephesian believers. He is saying to them, you get to wear new clothes. He's saying to them, go and put your new clothes on. He's saying, take off your old clothes that you wore before you knew Christ. And he's saying to them, put on your new clothes now that you are in Christ. You can write this down. As a Christian, I am called to take off my old clothes. Again, look at what Paul says in verse 17. He says, now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. So who were the Gentiles? If you remember, the Gentiles during this time were people who were not Jewish. And to be Gentile during this time and to not be Jewish was to be separated from God. You see, Gentiles did not know God, nor did they know the ways of God. So in other words, Paul is saying, now that you are in Christ, do not live like a Gentile. Do not live like a heathen. Do not live like a pagan. Do not live like someone who does not know God. Now that you are in Christ, he is saying, live like a Christian. He's saying, do not live like the world. He's saying, take off your old clothes. Paul says, this is how non-Christians live. And he gives them a list. He says this, look at the rest of verse 17. He says, they live in the futility of their minds. This word futility, it means that which is vain, or that which is empty, that which is purposeless, or even depraved. And Paul is saying to these people, he's saying, do not have a futile mind. He's saying, live like you know the truth. Live like Jesus Christ has a purpose for you. And then he continues. He says, do not live like the Gentiles. Do not live like the world. Look at verse 18. He says, because they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. So Paul says, because of their hardened hearts, because of their ignorance, they are darkened in their understanding in the things of God. Because of their ignorance and because of their hardened hearts, it says that they are alienated from the life of God, which means that they are separated from God. Paul says that they have hardened hearts. He says that they are walking in ignorance. This word ignorance that Paul uses here, it means to lack knowledge. And they lacked knowledge because their hearts were hard towards the things of God. This phrase that Paul uses whenever he says hardness of hearts, it also means calloused. You see, the more that they turned their back on God, the more that their hearts became hard, the more calloused their hearts became. In Romans, Paul essentially says the same thing about non-believers. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Of Christ saying, do not live like them. Do not live like that. Live like you are a follower of Christ. Live like you are a Christian. He continues in this list. Look at verse 19. He says, they have become callous. Again, the same idea as having a hardened heart. He says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. The NLT translates verse 19 like this, saying, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure, and they eagerly practice every kind of impurity. And again, Paul is saying to the Ephesian believers, do not live like that. Do not have a calloused heart towards the things of God. Do not have a hardened heart towards the things of God. He's saying, do not walk in impurity. Do not live out your lustful and sinful desires. He's saying, you have a new set of clothes. Put your new clothes on. Leave your old clothes off. In our home, Brittany is the clothing Holy Spirit. And she will often say to me, Caleb, that does not match. Like, what do you mean? How does brown and black not go together? They're both dark colors. I don't understand. And she's always saying, go and change your clothes. Go put on something new. Go put on something that matches. And essentially, this is what this text is telling you and I today. It's telling us this, believer, Lake Center Baptist Church, you have a new set of clothes. It's saying you have a new wardrobe. As Paul is saying to these Ephesian believers, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. This text applies to you and I and the culture that we live in. You see, if we are in Christ, we must no longer look like the world around us. If we are in Christ, we must live like we know the truth we say we possess. We cannot walk in futility of mind, as Paul says in this text. We now must live like we have a purpose for Jesus Christ. We must no longer walk in darkness. We must no longer walk in ignorance or hardness of hearts or having a calloused heart. We cannot be calloused to the things of God. We cannot live or walk in impurity. If we are in Christ, we cannot wear the old clothes of our past life. We have to walk in newness of life. We have to walk in the new clothes that Christ provides. So with all that being said, here's a question that we all must ask ourselves today. And church family, I am asking myself this question as well this morning. And the question is this, based on this text, is there anything in my life that looks like the world? I'm asking myself this question, and I'm asking us this question today as a people and as a church. Is there anything in my life that looks like the world? John says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. John says, do not love the things of this world or the things that are in the world. Again, the question that we must ask ourselves this morning based on this text is this. Is there anything in my life that looks like the world? Paul says to the Christians, your life cannot look like the world now that you are in Christ. He is saying this. Christians are different. Christians stand out. Christians are different in every single area of their lives. You see, Christians are different in the way that they love other people. Christians are different in their motives. Christians are different in their thought life. Christians are different by the way that they honor God with every aspect of their life. Christians are different in their response to someone who is mean. You see, Christians are different in every area of their lives. Christians go against the grain of culture. The world says this, bash on social media those whom you don't like. But guess what? Christians love their enemies. The world says, live for yourself. The Christians die daily and live their lives to serve. The world says abortion is okay. But the Christian understands that abortion is murder. The world worships its sports teams. The world worships its finances. The world worships its achievements in life. But the Christian worships God alone. You see, Christians stand out. Christians are different. Christians do not live like the world. And that is what Paul is saying in this text. Jesus himself said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but set it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, Christians, they are the light of the world. So is there anything in your life today? And again, I'm asking myself this question. Is there anything in your life that looks like the world that you need to change your thinking on, believer in Christ? Is there anything in your life that looks like the world that you need to change your behavior towards that is not of Christ? Is there anything in your life that looks like the world that you need to repent of? Again, Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, he says, tear it out. Throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, he says, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. And what Jesus is saying in this verse, he's saying this. He's saying, take drastic measures against sin. Do whatever it takes to rid yourself of sin. You see, Christians are not like the world. Christians wear new clothes. They do not wear worldly clothes. So today, if your phone or if your computer or if your iPad causes you to sin, get rid of it. If a friend is causing you to sin, distance yourself from that friend or find a new friend. If a show on TV is causing you to sin, quit watching that show. If a hobby is causing you to sin, quit the hobby. What Paul is saying is this: no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Christian, you must no longer live as the world lives. Christians stand out. Christians shine the light of Christ. Christians are different than the world. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Christian, take off your old clothes that you wore before you met Christ. And then he says this, and you can write this down. As a Christian, I must put on my new clothes. That's what he's saying. He's saying, believer, you have new clothes to wear. Put on your new clothes. And these are the clothes of a Christian. I love how Paul says it in verses 20 and 21. He says, but that is not how you learn Christ. Exclamation point. That's not what you learned about Jesus. He says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So Paul says to the Ephesian believers, why should you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk? He says, because that is not what you learned about Jesus. Paul's saying, if you are in Christ, to these believers, you must live as Jesus lived. And John says the same thing. John says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Again, if you know Christ, and you've been taught about Jesus Christ, John is saying that we will walk as Jesus walked, not as the world walks. John goes on to say in 1 John, he says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. Again, he's reiterating what Paul is saying here. Don't forget what you've been taught about Jesus Christ. Don't forget what you've learned. That's what Paul is saying here in this text. Again, Paul told young Timothy, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And Paul is saying to Timothy, remain faithful with the things that you have been taught. That's what he's saying to the believers in Ephesus as well. You see, for me, I am the most forgetful person that I have ever met. One day, in tomorrow or the next week, if you ever come up to me and I can't remember your name and I've known your name for 3 years, please do not hold it against me. I'm a very forgetful person. I do not remember things well. But guess what? Church family, we cannot forget the ways of God. We have to remember the ways of God. It's so easy to forget. So often we forget what Jesus says. So often we can forget the ways of Christ. And all throughout Scripture, God tells his children, all throughout the Word of God, Do not forget what you have learned. That's what Paul is saying. That's what John is saying. Do not forget what you have learned. Moses said over and over in Deuteronomy, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He goes on, Moses says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. He goes on in Deuteronomy 8, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. He's saying to the children of Israel, don't forget what you have learned. Don't forget what you were taught. I love how the psalmist puts it. He says, I will never forget your commandments. For by them you give me life. You see, we have to remember what we have learned. That's what Paul is saying here. We have to act on what we have learned. And this is why we have to remind ourselves daily as to what the beautiful word of God says. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Paul continues. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So here Paul says, take it off. He says, put off your old self. And he'll move on in the text, and we'll read this in just a few moments, and he will eventually say to these believers, he'll say, put on the new self. He says, put off your old self, put on the new self. And this is where we get the clothing metaphor, the phrase put on. It literally translates to sink into clothing. It translates to change your clothing. And the phrase put off that Paul uses in this text, it translates to put aside. It's the idea of changing clothes. Paul says, put off your old self. Change your clothes because your old self belongs to your former manner of life. So it begs this question that, I'm asking myself and I'm asking all of us in this room today. And the question is this, what old clothes do you need to take off? Now that you are in Christ, now that you're a follower of Christ, now that you're a believer in Christ, and again, I'm asking myself the same question. What old clothes do you need to take off? What is a part of your life that you know doesn't need to be there? As a Christian, what are you wearing or carrying around that is not Christian? Is it anger? Take it off and let God replace it with peace. Is it impatience? Take it off and let God replace it with patience. Is it lust? Take it off and let God replace it with contentment in Him. Is it worry? Take that off and let God replace that with trust. Is it a negative attitude towards something or someone? Take that off and let God replace it with goodness. Is it an immoral action? Take it off and replace that with doing the right thing. Is it a mouth of gossip? Take that off and replace it with a mouth of praise. And that is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, take off your old clothes now that you are in Christ and put on the new clothes of Christ. So it leads us to this question. How does one put off their old clothes? How does one take off their old clothes? The world would say, you have to try harder. Or the world would say, you have to surround yourself with positive people. Or you have to surround yourself with people who are doing the right thing, and that's a good thing. You have to think positive thoughts. You have to do yoga. You need to meditate more. And while these things, again, these aren't necessarily bad. They're not necessarily bad things. It's ultimately not what the Bible says about how one puts off their old self. The Bible says this. This is how you put off your old self. Paul says it in verse 23. Look what he says. He says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. You see, Christian, the only way that you can take off your old clothes and to put on new clothes, number one, is to submit to the lordship of Christ and then let the indwelling Spirit of God transform your mind. The world would say you have to do all of these external things. And again, some of these things that I listed off, they're not bad things. But ultimately, if you want to have your life transformed, it starts inwardly. I love what Bruce says about this in his commentary on Ephesians. He says, if the old ways are to be abandoned, again, your past life, your former life before Christ, if the old ways are to be abandoned, he says, renewal is called for, and this must be an inward renewal. The new life is not to be regulated by conformity to some external standard. Its wellspring lies within. Paul said the same thing in the book of Romans. He says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world. Same idea. Do not walk as a Gentile. Do not live as a pagan. How do we not do that? He says this, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It comes inwardly, you see. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, the world will tell you that you have to do this or you have to do that to be a better person. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this, the only way that you and I can have our lives changed, the only way that we can walk out of these old clothes and put on new clothes is to have the Spirit of God transform our minds through the beautiful Word of God. Again, it starts with a submission to the lordship of Christ, the Spirit of God coming to live inside of us, and then us meditating on the beautiful Word of God. You cannot change your life with just positive thinking. That's what the world would say. Just think correctly, but it has to come inwardly, as the Word of God tells us. Only by the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, can your life be changed. Again, it starts with a submission to the lordship of Christ. And then the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of me, as Paul had told the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 1, that whenever you confess Christ, that you are sealed with the Spirit. That's the first step to becoming a Christian. Submission to the lordship of Christ, His Spirit coming to dwell and to live inside of you. And then through the Spirit of God, by the incredible Word of God, by meditating on that Word, by memorizing that Word, by applying that Word, by living out that Word, and then renewal starts to change our lives. We start to have our lives change and being renewed from the inside. And the Word of God speaks greatly about this, about our thinking. It says this, if you have been raised with Christ, Paul says, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul is saying, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. He continues in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, all are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. He says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, being transformed inwardly only comes from the Lord. Paul continues in Philippians 4, finally, brothers, he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, he says, think about these things. And those are the things of God, His beautiful Word, meditating on His beautiful Word and allowing His beautiful Word to transform us from the inside out. I love what Dr. Meredith says about this. He says, we must give attention to our minds for growth in godliness. We must renew them, wash them, clean them with the word of God, and meditate on that which is good, right, and true in order to live the new life. You see, if you want to put on new clothes today, if you want your life and your heart and your mind to truly change, if you want to truly be like Jesus, if you want to love Jesus Christ more, you see, it begins with a submission to the Lordship of Christ, and it continues by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, renewing your life daily. R.C. Sproul says, mindless Christianity is no Christianity at all. You can't love what you don't know. You can't love that which you don't know. How do we come to know God? How do we come to become more like God? Again, it's through submission to Him, His Spirit of God coming to dwell and to live inside of us. How do we come to know God and to love Him more? Again, church family, it's through His beautiful word. We want to have our lives transformed, our minds changed, our hearts changed. We can try as hard as we want. I'm just telling you, church family, we'll never get there. It's all about meditating, memorizing, and applying His incredible word. So here's a question that, again, I'm asking myself, and then I'm asking all of us in this place today, is this. What is my daily relationship with the Word of God? Again, if I want to become more like Christ, and I want to have my mind changed, and I want to have my heart transformed to be a heart like Christ, I have to answer this question. What is my relationship with the Word of God? Is the Word of God dwelling inside of me? Am I memorizing the Word of God? Am I meditating and chewing on the beautiful Word of God? You see, church family, whenever we do this, whenever we allow this thing to come and to dwell inside of us, and as we memorize it, as we think about it, what happens? It starts to transform our hearts. It starts to change our hearts. It starts to change our minds. You see, if we want our physical bodies to be healthy, what do? We eat correctly, right? We exercise, do things like that. And those are great things to do. But if we want our spiritual lives to be healthy, church family, it starts with the Word of God. If you want to have a healthy spiritual life, it's through this incredible book. By allowing this incredible book to transform our thinking, to transform our hearts. You see, for me personally, my greatest growth as a Christian has not been from school or college or seminary or a great preacher or a good podcast or a good book. And these are good things. These are things that we should do as followers of Christ. But for me personally, my greatest growth as a Christian has come from the Word of God, by meditating on the Word of God, by memorizing the Word of God, by applying the Word of God. I love what Edward says. He says, the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. Isn't that a great thought? The world, again, will tell you that you need this or you need that to be happy. You need this or you need that to be satisfied. But the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. And you know how we enjoy God on this earth and in this life? We enjoy God through His beautiful word. We enjoy God through His beautiful word, because whenever we are reading the Word of God and we are learning the Word of God and we're allowing the Word of God to transform our minds and to transform our hearts, what are we doing? We're getting to know the God of the Word. We're getting to know Him. We're getting to know His heart. We're getting to know His love. We're getting to know His affection for us. We're getting to know His devotion for us and to see that. And it's just an incredible, incredible thing. You want to enjoy God today more? Believer, start with the Word of God. Allow it to transform your thinking. Allow it to transform your heart. And Paul says this, when we are renewed in the Spirit, whenever we are renewed in our minds through the Word of God, he says this in verse 24. He says, and to put on the new self. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, if you and I want to put on new clothes, if we want to put on a new self, if we want to be changed from the inside out, if we want to walk in the likeness of God in true righteousness and in true holiness, as Paul says in this text, and if we want to live a life like Jesus Christ, again, church family, it starts with a submission to Christ. That's the first step. That's the very first step in becoming a follower of Christ. It starts with submission to him by bowing our hearts and our lives to him and saying, Christ, Jesus, you are Lord. I submit my life to you. I submit my life to you. Then we walk with him. The Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us. The Spirit of God starts to transform our lives. We get into his beautiful word. Well, we allow his word to transform us from the inside out. And Paul says, then you will put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and in true holiness. Church family, would you bow your heads with me this morning? With that thought in mind, I want to say this statement. You cannot leave the old clothes of your old life unless Christ really is your Lord. So here's the question that I'm asking you today. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time and you've never really seen a change in your life. You've never seen a transformation in your life. The question that we must wrestle with this morning is this: is Christ really your Lord? You see, you cannot change yourself. The world will tell you that you can, but you cannot change yourself. I cannot change myself. Only Jesus Christ can change you. That's it. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Why do you need him to be your Lord? Because the Bible says this: apart from Christ, apart from Jesus, you are spiritually dead. You're dead. And that which is dead cannot make itself alive. You are spiritually dead in your sin. And the only way that you can become alive in Christ is by bowing your heart and bowing your life to Christ and submitting yourself to the Lordship of Christ. That means this, is that Jesus Christ becomes your boss. You're no longer your boss. Jesus Christ becomes your boss. He becomes your king. Is he your Lord today? Have you submitted your life to his Lordship? How do you do that? The Bible says this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? You're saved from your sin, the penalty of your sin. The Bible says that one sin separates us from God. And the only way that you can have your sin forgiven again is by submitting to Christ. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can call on him right now in this very moment. You call on him to save you. You cry out to him in faith and say, God, I know that I am a sinner. Therefore, I am submitting my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to receive the forgiveness that he offers. I want to follow you, and I want you to be my guide. I want you to be my boss. I want you to be the king of my life. The Bible says that whenever you cry out to God like that in faith, the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you. And the next part of the invitation this morning is this: are there any old clothes that you are wearing that need to be taken off? As I was preparing this message this week, there were many things that God spoke to me about. There were many things that I was convicted about, that God told me specifically, this does not fit you. You're a follower of Christ. This does not match. This does not look good on you. This needs to be taken off. There were many things that God told me about. And those are some things that I'm dealing with. So my question to you this morning is this: believer in Christ, are there any old clothes that you are wearing that need to be taken off? What new clothes do you need to replace them with? Again, you can't do it by yourself. It's only by the Spirit of God and through the Word of God. And the last question is this: are you allowing the Word of God to transform you? Are you allowing the Word of God to transform your thinking, to transform your heart, to make you more like Christ? Are you allowing the Word of God to do that? God, we love you. Thank you so much for this text this morning that really challenges us as believers to be different than the world, to shine, to stand out, to live differently than the world lives, to go against the grain of culture, to take off the old clothes, the old way of thinking, and to put on new clothes. We thank you so much for this amazing text. And God, our prayer today, my prayer for myself and my prayer for all of us is this, is God, that as we make this commitment to you to take off our old clothes and to put on our new clothes, that God, that you would help us in this, because Lord, we cannot do it ourselves. It's only by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, transforming our lives. So God, would you make us as a people more like your Son, Jesus Christ? Would you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ? Would you do whatever it takes, Father, for us as a people, for us as a church? Lord, would you do whatever it takes to help us to take off the old clothes that were a part of our past life and to put on the new clothes of Christ? Lord, so that whenever the world sees us, they simply see Jesus. They simply see Jesus Christ. We love you, God. We love you. Thank you so much for your Word that challenges us in so many ways. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? Right now, we're going to sing a song that we sang a few moments ago. And during this time, I'm just going to ask that you would respond to God, that you would sing to God, that you would give Him worship, that you would give Him honor, that you would give Him praise. And if you're in this place today and maybe you have a need in your life, or maybe you need someone to pray with you about something or someone, during this time, we would love to be able to pray with you. We would love to be able to pray over you. Maybe you're in this place today and you have a question about something when it comes to your spiritual life. Maybe you have a question about something. We would love to help you with that as well. But you be obedient to God right now. You sing to Him. You give Him honor. You give Him worship. If you need prayer, we would love to pray over you right now as we stand and as we sing this song back to God.
Oh, your grace, so